This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Our scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8 through 14. And it reads, he waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal. And I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Let us take this time for a moment of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity to come together on this morning. Lord God, thank you for just the technology and the ability to be one with another, even though we're far apart. But Lord God, knowing and understanding that while we may be far apart from one another physically, we are connected to you, Lord God, for everything that you do. And have, Lord God, for the message that we receive today, the words that come through Minister Curry from you, Lord God, that it shares a message that allows for us to continue to build and uplift your kingdom. We ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. One of my favorite shows of late to watch is a show called Rebel. It's about a young lady who is not an attorney but works for a law firm. And she's always fighting for the greater good. She's out in the community helping individuals. And one of the individuals that she's helping is coming up against a huge conglomerate, a company called Stonemar. And this company has created a valve that can be programmed by a computer to be able to make the heartbeat. And this valve, once it goes bad, it starts to poison the body. And so I see Rebel somewhat like David. Because when we read this chapter, this 13th chapter of 1 Samuel, the 8th through the 14th verses, we see that Samuel is at Gilgal. Saul is at Gilgal. Not only is he at Gilgal, but he is there on a mission from God, getting ready to come up against the Philistines. But the crazy part is that Samuel, who is the prophet, has given Saul an order from God. And that order is for him to wait 7 days. So as Samuel is taking his time to get there, Saul gets anxious. Not only does he get anxious, but he starts to move outside of the will of God. The prophet has already told him that he's not supposed to move until he comes and he actually burns these offerings, the peace offerings and the sacrificial offerings. So, because Saul gets impatient at the time. Saul decides to go ahead and make an offering to God, which was outside of what he was supposed to be doing as the king. So when Samuel comes there, he tells him, he says, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God." And then he also tells him that the Lord has ripped the kingdom from him, but he has given it to a man after his own heart. So, as I spoke briefly about with Rebel, even though the movie doesn't portray her as a Christian or as someone that would seek after God's face, but they were doing the work of God. But the thing is, because if I even had to name this sermon, I would name it after God's own heart. So right after this, we see that Samuel will go into war. And not only does he go into war, but he ends up struggling with the war. Now, the thing that we want to look at, though, is just that 14th verse where he says, "The Lord has sought a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you." So we already spoke about Saul at Gilgal. We spoke about him offering sacrifices outside of what he was supposed to. And then he was rejected as God's man. We see, number one, that pride came in. When the people started to scatter, Saul couldn't understand why they were scattering, why they were not able to just stay and trust him. And he's not supposed to be the one that they're supposed to be trusting, because we're supposed to point everything at God. So one of the reasons why I even chose this passage, because that's what I love the most about David. David never relies in his own strength. And even in the times that he was prideful, that caused him to sin against God, he actually came back and he repented. He was impatient. When I say that he was impatient, the prophet told him, "I'll be there on the seventh day." But he could not wait until the end of the seventh day, because the people were stirring. His heart was not for God. His heart was for the people. And being that his heart was for the people, the impatientness caused him to move outside of his position. When I say outside of his position, in the old covenant, kings didn't operate as king and high priest. So because they didn't operate as king, as high priest, that's why the prophet was always sent to them to operate in that lineage to God. So therefore, he moved outside of the kingly position and moved into the prophet's position. When he moved into the prophet's position, that caused a disturbance, or that caused a shaking in the atmosphere. So therefore, he wanted to, and then he also wanted to build himself up in this. He wanted the people to see him as that strong king, that king that would always be there to take care of them. He wanted the people to see him in a manner that God had not called for him to be seen, because God had a prophet in which he would send the word to and fro. And then he disobeyed God. Now, when he disobeyed God's commandment, and we know that in the old covenant, that when you disobey God's commandment, 9 times out of 10, you were going to die in that moment. But he didn't die. But God allowed him to stay in position until the man after his own heart was ready to be put in that position. Now, when I say the man after his own heart, I speak of King David. When I say King David, even Paul in the New Covenant, Acts 13, verse 22, declares that David is this man, that God saw a man after his own heart, and that was David. So it wasn't that David was a perfect man. It wasn't that David did every single thing that God asked for him to do, but it was just that David, when God did tell David to do something, when God said, "Be still," when God said, "Don't move," David didn't move. And if he did move outside of that, he was repentant enough to understand that this is the Lord, my God, whom I have to surrender to. So God, as I said before, God was not looking for the perfect man. And we often disqualify ourselves because of our imperfections. God doesn't want to see your imperfections, because we see that the writer of Hebrews lets us know that we are perfected in Christ Jesus. Meaning that when he laid his life down on the cross, that means that he washed away every single thing that we could come up against when we said that Jesus was our Lord and Jesus was our King. When we believed in our hearts and we confessed with our mouth that Jesus was Lord. So, David had his own struggles. He was far from being without struggles. We know that David would later, a few chapters later, he would go up against Goliath. But David didn't come looking for a fight. David came because he was sent by his earthly father to deliver food for his brothers. And then he just happened to be in the right place at the right time. So when God nudged him, he went before and told Goliath, "How dare you defy the people of the Most High God?" Meaning that he wasn't worried about what anybody had to say. He was focused on, okay, he's defying God. And God has shown me in my heart and shown me in my life that when you defy God and when you come up against the things of God, then he shuts it down. Reason why David had no fear was because he had an encounter with the bear. The bear wasn't tough enough. He killed him with his bare hands. And he also killed a lion with his bare hands. So David knew that the Lord had him, and he knew that his time in the fields guarding the sheep was only preparation for what he was about to move into. So now David walks into this place where this giant, this 9 foot, 9 inch tall giant, is defying the people of the Most High God, who is talking down to the people of the Most High God and challenging them. So David decides that he's going to take matters into his own hand. And he couldn't just go out there and say, "Hey, look, I'm going to fight the giant," because his brothers had told him, you know, "Okay, David, we know how you think, so therefore you need to pipe down." But then word got to King Saul. When word got to King Saul brought David in and tried to give him his armor. But that wasn't for David. It was too large for him, and not only was it too large for him and it didn't fit, but he couldn't have maneuvered the way that he needed to. So therefore, when he took that armor off and told him, "No, I got this," and he went out there with those 5 smooth stones. A lot of people wonder, well, if the Lord was with him, then why couldn't he have just taken 1 stone and slayed the giant? Well, he didn't. It wasn't going to take but 1 stone. But Goliath had 4 brothers. And because he had 4 brothers, David was prepared to slay all of them at one time. So now when David went to Goliath and Goliath was talking crazy, Goliath, like I say, 9 foot, 9 inches tall, towering over David. But there was no fear. David cocked his sling and threw that stone and he killed Goliath with 1 shot. So now the people, they were, and at this point, because David became a larger than life, like a story tale, he was like larger than life. So therefore people, when they saw him and they started to chant, "The Saul has killed 1,000 and David has killed 10,000. He could have easily been pulled away from God's path. He could have easily made it just strictly about David. But he decided not to. But like I said, he wasn't a sinless man, because then there's the story of Bathsheba, where he was supposed to be out at war and he decided to stay back. Looking over the rooftop, he sees this beautiful woman. He sleeps with her, kills her husband. But we're not going to even continue to go into that. But we know that he faced his largest, even after the Bathsheba situation, we know that he wrote Psalms 51. Where he told the Lord, "Create in me a clean heart, renew the right spirit within me." So not only did he want he didn't want just his spirit renewed, he wanted to renew the right spirit within him. He wanted to renew God's spirit within him. So we know that David was the type that would do dirt, but he was also the type that would ask for forgiveness. God said of David, I have found a man after my own heart who will do my will. The difference between Saul and David in this scripture is the fact that Saul was so consumed with the people. He was so consumed at how the people felt. He was so consumed at how many people were following. He was so consumed at how the people would view him that he forgot the commands of God. And when I say he forgot the commands of God, I mean that he forgot that the Lord told him to be still. I don't know if y'all heard that. He forgot that the Lord said, be still. Now, when the Lord says to be still, to me, that means to stay right where you are. That means to continue in the place that you are, but don't move without my instruction. Now, that's what it means to me. But obviously, it didn't mean the same thing to Saul, because Saul decided that he would move. He not only decided that he would move, but he moved outside of what he was called to do. He was called as king to lead the people based off of how God told him to lead. But he decided that he would no longer lead the people the way that God wanted to, but he would lead them the way that he decided to. And when you move outside of that, now you're not at the heart of God. Now you're moving in territory that says that I can be God myself. And that's where Saul was. And so the Lord knew that he knew that it wouldn't get better. Whether we read that in the story or in the scripture or not, God knew that it wouldn't get better. And because he knew that it wouldn't get better, he sent the prophet Samuel to find someone who would serve him. Someone who would serve him with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. And he found one, and that was the young man, the teenage boy, David. Now, this teenage boy would live and continue to serve in capacities that he probably didn't know why he was in those capacities. Because I can recall, even when the Lord gave Saul a tormenting spirit and they sent for David. When they sent for David, and David, who am I? And then when he was going to give David his daughter Michal, and David said, but I'm only a lonely servant. And he says to David, he says, give me 100 foreskins of the Philistines and you can have my daughter. David didn't know how that was supposed to happen, but he went out and made it happen. Not only that, but we know that David had a great love for God, that there was nothing that could move David from the love of God. That no matter where he went, no matter what sins he was involved in, no matter how long he stayed in those sins, but nothing could separate him from God's love. And he knew that. He had confidence in God. And he had confidence to the point where God had given him 600 men to follow him. And those 600 men, David would lead, and then they would lose pretty much everything that they had after coming back from fighting a war. Tired, famished, thirsty. But guess what? David took the ephod and David prayed to the Lord and asked the Lord, would he recover? And the Lord said, yes. And he took those men, whereas he lost half of those men on the way to get his family back. But then he pushed through. He and the half of those men that pushed through, they went and they got their family and all of their stuff back because he had confidence in God. His desire was to bring God glory. David desired to bring God glory in every single thing that he did. That no matter how minute the task was or how large the task was. He sought to bring God glory. And every individual that he encountered, he left a lasting impression on them. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that was his whole point. David, because of his heart, was the only king to rule both Israel and Jerusalem. The only king. And every king after that, no matter how hard they try, came from his lineage. No matter how good they were, no matter how bad they were, they came from his lineage so that his name would forever be called. And it was nothing about how he sought to lift himself up, but it was all about how he sought for God to see him and how God loved him and God understood that he was after his own heart. So no matter whom he came in contact with, no matter how bad he slayed, no matter what he did, David always had a heart for the things of God. And when you're after God's own heart, you have to, in every single situation, you have to leave that situation better than it was. No matter how hard it is, no matter how much it hurts, but you have the opportunity with God's heart to leave that situation better than it was. Now, as I said in the beginning, that this show Rebel that I love to watch, the crazy part about this show is that valve that they're trying to get removed, or that valve that they put in to substitute for the real valve. This valve was coded. And the crazy part, the encryption in the coding caused the valve to actually start to eat itself from the inside out. So when the valve started to eat itself from the inside out, it caused nickel to get into people's bloodstreams. And it became an autoimmune disease. Their bodies were literally eating itself alive. So as they continue to try to get this company to not only take these valves off the market, but also to pay for these individuals to be able to get these valves removed, the company is combating them on every corner and every side. The company is using money. They're using their power. They're using their influence. They're using all of these things. And the crazy part is the company that's fighting against them has almost gone broke. Now it's just one attorney fighting because he can't afford to hire staff. So therefore, this one attorney is fighting against this huge company and this huge conglomerate, and they have all the money and all the resources. But the thing about it is that no matter how bad it gets, this company understands that not only are they doing the right thing, but they have the heart. They have to take this valve out of the heart that is poisoning the body. Y'all get with me now. They have to take this valve out of the heart that is poisoning the body. Now that valve today is called iniquity. That valve is all of the things that we've learned, all of the things that we've seen, all of the people that we have conversations with. Let's get back to a place where God is number one. Let's get to an understanding that it is all about him, that if he controls the valve to my heart, he releases exactly what needs to be released in the time that it needs to be released. So we have to understand that we are people that have to be after God's own heart. And if we're not a people that are after God's own heart, then we may as well be like Saul. Because every time adversity comes, we're going to take the time to actually do what we want to do versus what God has already told us to do. So now, in closing, we have to be after God's own heart, because it's his heart. It's not our heart. Because see, the thing about this heart, Jeremiah 17:6 tells us that the heart is deceitful and wicked amongst all things. And that's because it's ours. It's what we've learned. It's what we've brought with us. But if we take his heart, we know that his heart is pure because he came through 40 and two generations. Now, in those 40 and two generations, he did good. People with bad hearts spit on him. They talked about him. They ridiculed him. They called him everything except the child of God. But guess what? He still said that if I be lifted up, then I draw all men unto me. He laid down on the cross so that they could lift him up. And they didn't even know what they was doing, but they was just propelling the power of God. And when they lifted him up and he decided that it was finished, Jesus decided on his own that it was finished. No man could kill him. He decided that it was finished. And he gave his life. And he went down into the grave for 3 days. And then when he rose up, early on that third day, with all power in his hands, power over sin, power over death, power over the grave, he gave us that same power. And he gave us his heart. So now we have to be in a place where we understand that it's no longer about how I feel or what I'm feeling right now, but it has everything to do with who I am. I mean, excuse me, not who I am, who he is. And when it has everything to do with who he is, then we can stand in any situation, we can face any adversity, any trial, and we can know that we're coming out good because we're after his own heart. Anybody out there that has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I ask you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in prayer asking forgiveness of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus is your Son and that he died on the cross at Calvary, that I might be forgiven and have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Father, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I ask you right now to come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and will worship you all the days of my life because your word is truth, and I confess with my mouth that I am born again and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, don't forget, Givelify, PayPal, or you can actually send your donations to us here at First African Baptist Church. But just don't forget to give, and give as the Lord has given unto you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this message. We thank you for what you have given us on this day. We pray, Father God, that you will continue to direct and guide us, that we'd be more of what you desire for us to be, that we'd no longer settle with the bad valve in our heart, but we'd accept the new valve which Jesus has given us, because he said in his word that all things have become new, that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus because of what he has done. So therefore, Father, we just give you glory that is due your name. We worship you and we honor you through your Son. And we pray, Father God, that if there's any that are watching this broadcast that have sickness in their body, we pray that you restore them. We pray that you restore families, that you reconcile relationships. And most importantly, Father God, that you would continue, Lord, to be God of all things. So, Father, we just give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.